Second channel, we now switch the order of the electronic and electronic because we have the electronic leading King Tau, we have electronic leading King W. Here we ask only for one T-tech check because the efficiency would be reduced to much of the ask for two. And this is a cut on the sum of all the PTs of the tracks coming from the primary vertex that basically just reduces QCD and other backgrounds. So as discriminating variable here, since we have neutrinos from both sides, we cannot use the transverse modes. What we use is the ETS in the event. It tends to be higher for the Higgs because the Higgs is heavier than supposedly heavier than the W. So here's the ETS distribution. Now that the background composition gets shown differently than previously, what we split the backgrounds up into here is the triggering is again more difficult because the tau plus ETS trigger. We also have all higher PT of the hadronic tau candidate. We ask for four jets, one of them has to be V-tagged. And it's important here since now in the fully hadronic mode we have a lot of QCD background that we have hot requirements on ETS and the significance of the ETS measure. And then again we ask for jet-jet B combination to be consistent with the tau mass. Now when we do this selection here then is discriminating variable again since the WDK hadronically we have one neutrino that means we can again look at the transverse mass distribution as discriminating variable. The true tau background in this case is estimated again by an embedding. We select muon plus chance events which have a similar topology to top pair events and then we replace the muon again by a tau. We see a nice agreement here between the simulation and the embedded data sample. And the misidentification for the misidentified tau networks, the background is done in the same way as in the previous channel, as I discussed in the previous one. So since we have the hadronic final state, it's not only the TT bar background here that's important, but it's also important to estimate the multi-jet background. You see it's a significant contribution here. Now this multi-jet background, we determine again in the region where we enhance background from QCD processes that low ETS. Actually, what we do is QCD enhanced sample at low ETS. In the QCD enhanced sample, when we get the ETS shape of QCD, we get this sample by inverting the tau ID and inverting the B tagging, and then we get the ETS shape. And together with the ETS shape from the other backgrounds from simulation, we fit that to the data ETS shape, and then we get the normalization of the multi-jet background. And the final distribution. The transverse mass here for the analysis. Here we see in white is the true tau background, in red we see the estimated multi-jet background, and this gray contribution here is a potential signal with mass of 130 GeV, again for a branching fraction of 5%. And we see that's something, so we get in agreement with the standard model, we can extract exclusion limits, which are shown here for the three different channels. You see the one that contributes actually the most is the fully hadronic one. And this is the combination of the three. And you see we go down to 10 to the minus 2 at final masses. And if you compare that to the Tavatron limits, they're in the region of 10 to 15%. typically Salmonella tonic, heavy flavor decays or misidentified neurons, etc. This is the data here. As you see, it doesn't agree wonderfully well, but we check the probability that the background fluctuates to the data in different regions of the spectrum, and it's always higher than 5%, yeah, so there's nothing to worry about there. So it's actually in agreement with what we see. So the nice thing about this analysis is, so far it's not independent, we're just looking at the dynamic on spectrum. This is a variety of interesting models that we can check with. It's not only in double chart text books, but that, for instance, also check flavor change over to kind of production of the lifestyle top corks. So we have two types of top corks produced in the CNC processes. But we can also look at microRNA treatments from the case of RNA endemics. But RNA endemic goes into microRNA treatment much better. But all these types of things can be tested here. I'm showing just the results for the double charge case interpretation. Here's the limit on the cross section time spreadsheet fraction. That's the observed limit, is the black line here. If you compare it with the predicted cross section, here's two lines. One is the predicted cross section for a right double charge case. This is the upper one. This one, the lower one, the smaller cross section, the higher cross section is for left double charge case. They are different by factor of 2.5 just because the left double charge covers to Z and photon on the right only covers to Z. That means this cross section is lower for the right ones. Now we can then see we get a ranging fraction of the H plus plus to mu mu of 100%. And then we can check whether this cross section limit here these predicted cross sections and then can derive the limit on the masses of the W charge exposure. So these are the values that we get 251 GV for right handed X and 255 GV for left handed X. This is the range that the Teletron requires for the limits on these double charged exposures. We can alternatively then say, okay, we take the predicted cross section and we then set a limit on the ranking fraction H plus plus 2 mu mu. And these are the limits that we get for this ranking fraction as a function of the mass for the left axis, the above limit for the right axis is the common problem. Okay, that's the last slide. That's the analysis. This was also performed with the 2010 data. 39 of those people born. This is a search of a very light CPRs, Higgs boson L1, produced, for instance, in the global fusion. And this very light CPR Higgs boson comes from the next 2 minimum supersymmetric stellar model, where we introduce a simpler scalar field to solve, for instance, the new problem in the MSSM. And through this additional singlet scalar field, we now get 3 CP even scalars, A1, H2, A3, and we get 2 CP odd scalars, A1 and A2. And the A1, the lighter one of the two, can be very light, actually. So there's different analysis that were done, for instance, at the B factories by Babar. We look at Osloan resonance, decays Osloan resonance into A1 and photon. There's analysis from LEP, where actually one looked for this light scalar H1 decay into 2 A1s, and then we have the A1 goes to mu, so we have something like a 4 mu and 5 out of 4 top final state. And these analyses all constrain the mass to be roughly less than 2 times the B mass. And so it's really very light. Now the analysis is done by significant amount of PT for the muons to actually measure these events. And we need to have a dime muon trigger with 4 GeV for each muon. So we cannot go to very, very small masses that easily. But
you could also have that same object recoiling against a jet, so you should still have some sensitivity. I mean, you can have that whole thing get boosted at some degree.
Yes. I mean, also the other thing is the lower you go in PT, the higher the theoretical uncertainty becomes. Because your PT spectrum, for instance, the theoretical uncertainty that you get on the spectrum from Parton Charles, ISR, FSR, and so on, that changes the spectrum significantly. What we look at here are muons, two muons above 4 GeV, which comes from an object that is, let's say, it's 6 GeV in mass or so. That means we're only accepting a very, very small part of those events. Yeah? We're only looking at the boosted ones as well. And since we only have a small fraction, only the boosted ones, then any theoretical uncertainty on the spectrum will cause a large uncertainty also, which gets larger the smaller we go. Yeah?
Right.
Hello? Yeah, I just had a technical question about the Higgs to Tau Tau mass reconstruction. And I mean, if you have a three-prong tau decay, then you can, in principle, use the vertex position to reconstruct the event, the decay fully, I guess. Is there any prospect of using that to improve your mass resolution and background?
Can reconstruct maybe the vertex for just a small fraction of the tau decays, but it's certainly not efficiently enough that we make use of it with a high statistic sample. This is something that I agree with can be done, but at the moment I don't think we're using that. We're using the impact factor significance, the vertex, basically the vertex information in the discrimination of tau from QCD jets, but we're not using it yet in constraints like that, as you're suggesting. We did need more statistics for that, I think.
Okay, let's have a final quick question for Michael. Or do you still have your question, Michael? Okay. Okay, one final question from Tom.
So the light chart Higgs search depends on tangent beta very sensitively, tangent beta squared. Do you remember how low it can go with the tangent beta? So far, I still have tangent beta way above 10.
For which analysis? Sorry, I didn't.
Chart Higgs, light chart Higgs search. Even in the light, even the light mass region, is you still have tangent beta way above 10. 22, page 22.
Yes, yeah, so, I mean, we were hoping that.
But you said you can exclude these light Higgs. But it depends on tangent beta squared, very sensitive.
Yes, I mean, we were hoping that actually we will, with the data that we get this year, that we will significantly get lower in the 10 beta exclusion. So maybe, that's why I said, maybe we can exclude it up to very small 10 beta values by the end of the year.
Okay, so